Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Anybody, if you need one of these little my identity in Christ cards, I have about three or four left here. You can have one if you need one or would like one. Just come up there. They're free to take them and go over them. I'll save that for last. The reason it's important to go over the identity in Christ is not really so much to discover who we are, it's to discover who Christ is in us. We don't want to focus on us. We want to focus on Him. And by focusing on Him, we discover what we have access to be, and we are, and can become in Him. And so it's important to understand that. I want to quote a scripture to you. It's not going to be on the screen yet. Romans 8:16-17. Don't look it up. You can just listen. The Spirit, God's Spirit, bears witness to our human spirit that we are the sons or the children of God. Okay. And then verse 17 says, and if we are, or since we are, children of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs with God, but we're also joint heirs with Christ. Notice it doesn't say we're co-heirs. It's not 50-50. We're joint heirs, which means Jesus gets 100% of the inheritance of the redeemed, and we get 100%. We're joint heirs. That's who I was looking for earlier. I was looking for my son-in-law. My son-in-law, Ken Thompson, is here, and I want you to stand up, Ken, so they see you. We're so proud of you, and he's a wonderful. He's the best son-in-law I've ever had. I don't back down from anybody on that. And he really is a great blessing to our family and a wonderful husband and a great father and a wonderful son-in-law. I can't say enough about him. A great leader, a youth leader at his church, and a great voice. Yeah. A great heart, servant heart. So I can't say enough about him, and I'm just proud of him, and I don't get the chance to say that in front of him very often, so I wanted to do that. He's here because his dad's been very sick with the flu and health issues, and so he flew down to be a good son and help his dad, and I just pray for his dad, Ed Thompson, who's in the hospital, and praise God, he's doing better. Now, I want to talk to you just briefly about that verse I just shared you about being a joint heir, not a co-heir, but a joint heir. An heir is someone who gets an inheritance when someone dies, or we would say, well, when you go to heaven, you get your inheritance. Well, that's true, but Jesus already died to give us inheritance, much of what we get now, not just when we go to heaven. The Holy Spirit is the down payment, the guarantee that we have something greater for us than this world. Hallelujah. Okay. And so you can, by faith, thank the Father right now because He's made you a joint heir with Jesus. That means what Jesus has, you have, or you have access to. Okay, so I believe I have received even before I see it manifested, and therefore I can say, Lord, I thank you today for my healing, because Jesus got that for me, and I don't have to wait to get to heaven to have it. I can have it now, and I can claim that healing. See, I claim it. I lay hands on the sick. I believe they're recovering because of my inheritance, you see.
So I thank you, Father, for my inheritance today, my healing today, my victory today. Well, whatever I've got to deal with, I got victory already guaranteed. I'm going to walk through this thing with God. It may be a trial. It may be things I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. But I'm already guaranteed victory in Jesus because He's got victory. His victory is my victory. And we're going to go through this thing. Are you with me? That kind of attitude will get you through. That hope, that confidence in God will get you through the trial. The victory is already assured. My prosperity doesn't necessarily mean money in the bank always. My prosperity is my success in my assignment.
Yes.
My success in my assignment. And whatever I need, if it's provision, provision will come. The success I need because of the calling upon my life, this assignment upon my life. Lord, I thank you today that that's mine, my inheritance, because what has been given to Jesus has been given to me, my success today. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. We're accessing what is His, and it's rightfully mine because I'm, remember those two words, in Christ Jesus. Now, it's important to understand this. And then we come to understanding our identity, and our identity statement's on the screen. And this is what you've been going over, I hope, and repeating to yourself. I say this to myself every day. Go to the next part, please, the identity part. My identity in Christ. Because of Christ's redemption. Can you get there, please? There we go. Let's stand up together. I know you just ate a big meal. So I'm going to have to preach harder at you. I'm going to have to yell at you. Keep you awake. Ain't no nodding off, Joe. He already warned me. He said, now, Pastor, you know, I have my belly full. I just have a tendency to go. I said, not tonight, you're not. I'll put a noogie on your head. You'll wake up in the morning. Oh, what was that from? You watch him. If he starts to nod, you point him out, and I'll come over and do it. My identity in Christ. Because, come on, say it together. Because of Christ's redemption, I am a new creation of great worth. I'm deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted, and absolutely complete in Christ. Hallelujah. And it's all because of Christ's redemption. I find my identity in Him. Amen. Now be seated. Don't go to sleep. And tonight we've been breaking this thing down. And tonight we're on the part I'm totally accepted. This is a critical component of understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. I am totally accepted by God. Because of my union with Him, because of my communion with Him, I can have fellowship with God 24 hours a day. I can have fellowship with God at any time. I can have fellowship with God even if I sin. Now, it ain't going to help me, but even if I sin, God doesn't break away from me. And we're going to talk about that in a moment because a lot of people are living in the Old Testament. Yeah. Now, here's our verse, Ephesians 1:6. Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You could take out the words Beloved and put Jesus. He's the Beloved. And we are the Beloved. So He made us accepted by Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. How accepted by God are you right now? You may not feel like it sometimes. You let a bad word slip out of your mouth. And you may not feel like you're accepted by God. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you're absolutely, totally accepted. You look, for you to know how accepted you are in God, you're to look to Jesus, not your performance.
That's right.
You look to the cross. How is Jesus accepted? Absolutely. Fully, completely, absolutely. And that's how accepted you are. How favored by God are you right now? How favored?
Highly favored.
Greatly favored. Well, how do you know? You don't feel like it sometimes. What'd you say? His word says you are, yeah, yeah. But you look at Jesus. How favored is Jesus? Highly favored, totally favored, yeah. Has access to everything. And that's how favored you are. Why? Scripture says in 1 John 4:17, don't turn there, write it down. 1 John 4:17, as he is, Jesus, so are we in this world. Right now. As Jesus is right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, totally accepted, fully pleasing, absolutely complete, not lacking anything, full the favor and love of God upon him. As he sits there at the right hand of the Father, we're in the same position here on the earth. As he is, so are we right now in this world. Well, preacher, if I was favored from God, then why am I going through all this trouble? We'll get to that. Why did the Apostle Paul, why did the Peter, why did the disciples go through? Imprisonment, beating, shipwreck, disappointment, sometimes without food, sometimes no place to sleep. Highly favored? People would say, well, I don't think so. If that's a favor of God, you can keep it. You probably never said that, but you probably thought it. If that's a favor of God, who needs it? Is your wheels turning? Good, good. Why did the Apostle Paul have so much stinking trouble? And from the folks he preached to, the churches he started, why did he have so much trouble from them? I can understand maybe people out there in the world, but why did he have trouble with church people? It is directly related to the calling and the assignment upon your life. Paul had revelation. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He had revelation of God that people didn't have, and they needed. And the devil knew it, and he said, I got to do everything I can to stop this man, to discourage this man, to hinder this man, to depress this man, to attack this man, because he's carrying knowledge that'll set people free. I got to stop him. And now you're starting to see, as Paul Harvey said, some of the rest of the story. Some of the assignments on your life are from the devil because of the experience and the testimony that you bear about Christ that can set somebody free. And the devil says, I got to shut their mouth. I've got to depress them. I've got to stop them. I've got to shut them up. Anyway, I'm going to attack their children. I'm going to attack their finances. I'm going to attack their marriage. I'm going to attack their health. I'm going to attack everything, their friends. I'm going to attack everything I can and shut them up. Because of the revelation you have. You got something, treasure hidden on the inside of you. If it gets out, someone's going to get saved. Someone's going to get healed. Someone's going to get delivered. Someone's going to get the truth. And this is part of the knowledge right here. Wednesday night training. Why don't more people come out on Wednesday nights? Now, some may have legitimate reasons. Working, are they worn out, whatever. Why do you come? I'm thankful you're here. I just kind of, well, boy, sometimes I wonder, is it just going to be me and you tonight, God? I mean, I can preach this, but you already know it. I may need to preach it to myself, but Why do you folks come out on Wednesday nights? Because your wife tells you to? Well, that's a good wife, brother. Good wife.
Hear the word, be taught, be fed.
Because we don't get enough. We need more. We need more. We need more. I never get enough. If I believe that the person who's going to be speaking has got a word from God, I want to be there. I'm going to have a pad of paper. I'm going to get, if I get one word out of it that I know is from God to me, it's worth it. In fact, it may be better just to get one word than a bunch of words. But if I get one word, I need that. Maybe some people don't feel they need it. I'm just asking a question. No, thank you. I've had enough. Sunday is enough for me. I don't know. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just asking a question. Now, I want to ask you a question. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. Do you really believe that? I'm asking myself, Gary, do you really believe what you're preaching? And my honest answer is, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. So I got to work on the parts I don't. Now, here we go. 1 John 3:1, the scripture, the word of God says, see how great the Father, the love, the Father that has bestowed upon us that we should be called and
such we are.
Who's a child of God here? Now, listen, the Coke commercial years ago or the Pepsi commercial, one of them would kind of spout off a song about and make it sound like everybody's a child of God. Okay. And I understand if they mean that, well, everybody, you know, the human race, God created every human being, I understand that. But it doesn't mean that everybody's a born-again child of God. If you believe that, you're a Unitarian. Unitarian just say, let's accept everybody. Let's coexist. We believe everybody's religion is a pathway to God. We're all looking paths for light. We all have paths of light. So, you know, us and Oprah, let's go. No offense to Oprah. I'm just saying. Jesus said, the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. But by Him. All right. We're the children of God. Hallelujah. And to think about that, I'm a child of God. Is God a child abuser? Okay. Then why do so many Christians, born again people, feel rejection from God? And the moment they fall into sin or deliberately sin or slip back into sin or backslide into sin, whatever you want to call it, the moment they get themselves, you know, their feet dirty from the world or whatever it is, the next thing you know, you don't see them at church anymore. And they don't meet with God in the Bible. And prayer, they've hung up the phone. Why? Have we done that before? Why have we done that? Why have, when we backslid into sin, we've gone into sin, we're not doing what we should do. Why do we feel some rejection from God and we just want to kind of, God, you stay over here, I'll stay over here. Every once in a while, I'll look at you, but I can't. I feel guilty. I feel ashamed. Well, all from, but yeah, and you did wrong. You're going to feel guilt, you know. Adam and Eve in the garden, what did they do? But why do we still do that? Instead of what knowledge we have now, they didn't have. Instead of, oh man, I blew it, I lied, I cheated, I lusted, I did this, I did that, I didn't do what I should do. Lord, I have been messed up. Instead of running from God, why don't we run to God knowing He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come on. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and find grace to help you. Why don't we do that? Because we don't believe it. You can say you believe a lot of things, but your actions are showing otherwise. You wouldn't bit more say at that moment when you know you feel ashamed of your sin before God. You wouldn't bit more say, well, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus than you would anything, even though that's the truth. Your position in Christ has not changed because of your immature behavior. If it did, then Jesus would have to go back to the cross and die again. But He ain't going to do that. He did it once, and once was enough to pay for all your sins in the past, all your sins in the present, and all your future sins you haven't even committed yet. Well, let's just go on and sin then. No, you don't understand. You don't understand what it's costing you. So, why are too many Christians in our church, Grace Tabernacle? Why do they lack this understanding and are experiencing rejection, not from God, but they're feeling rejection from something in their mind? Instead of being driven to Him, they're driven from Him. And they feel like, I'll never measure up. I can't keep this up. I can't maintain it. I can't live a holy life. I can't be consistent. I can't be faithful. And then little by little, pastors scratching their head and they're wondering, how come my flock's dwindling away? Where's so-and-so that used to be here so fast? Where was so-and-so that was shouting and hollering to the glory of God over here last week? Where are these people? And it's like termites are eating away at God's church. And the pastors are going, what in the world is going on? What they need, you're getting tonight. But they don't think they need it. You can't force feed anybody. Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past our finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who's been His counselor? Who first gave it to Him? And shall it be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, and to Him be glory forever. Oh, the depth of the riches. We haven't even scratched the surface about the wisdom and the knowledge and the love of God for us. Now, in the Old Testament days, it was true, according to Scripture, Isaiah 59, I think it's 2, that your sins separated you from a holy God. Sin did separate you. When you sinned, you were removed. Presence of God couldn't be there. Your sins separated you from God. But because of what Jesus Christ did, God in the flesh, He dealt with our sins once and for all. Do we believe that? Through the cross, He dealt with it. He said, it's paid in full. It is finished. Then why do we live like Old Testament Christians? And we let sin separate us from God. Why do we do this? We don't believe that. We don't believe the cross took care of it. We can say we do. We can sing songs about it. Oh, yes, Jesus died for all. But we live. Are you with me? You can see it more than you can hear it. All through this good church, there are good people living in the Old Testament. And the veil has been torn. It's been removed forever. And they put it back up each week. You know, I'm told by history. Now, history books tell us that when the veil was torn in the temple, you know, the veil that separated man from the Holy of Holies, it was torn from the top to the bottom. Scripture says that. But history, tradition says that the Jewish people kept mending that curtain and tried to hang it back up, but it kept falling down. And yet today, we still have Christians on this side of the cross come up every week and they try, let's put the veil back up. Come on, give me some help. Let's put the veil back up. And it keeps falling down. They come back every, no, let's put that veil back up there. Are you with me? Why is this dangerous? Because it's error, for one. And wrong believing causes wrong living. And religion can get you into bondage that is worse than the world. So where do you think we get this wrong thinking from? Not God. The problem is in the church, we don't deeply know the love of God. We know about it. But most have don't know deeply the love that God has for us. And so what we need is a greater revelation of the truth, of the love of God for us. Paul said it this in Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1, this is a prayer that you can pray, by the way, as a believer. As a believer, this is a prayer for you. And he's praying for the Ephesians, and this is in God's book, and he wants us to be able to pray it for ourselves. The prayer is this: I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? Not in your identity, but in the knowledge of Him is your identity. Are you with me? That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what He wants you to do, the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what's the exceeding greatness of His power that works in us. Now, I've been praying that for myself and praying it for you since Monday. I can't get this out of my heart. I've been praying that for this church, praying it for you. Prayed it for you today. You ought to just carry that and just pray that in your own word. Make it your personal prayer. God, give me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of you. Let me have the true knowledge of you, God. Enlighten the eyes of my heart that I might understand what your hope for me is, what your calling for me is, and what are the riches of the inheritance you have for me. God, help me, help me. And God wants you to pray that prayer because He wants to answer it. See, in the Old Testament, very few people had intimate relationship with God. The Bible says in Psalm 103, it said, Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew His ways. Only Moses had that intimate relationship with God. And Israel saw the miracles and the signs and the wonders, but Moses knew the ways of God, why he was doing what he was doing. Moses knew some things about God that other people didn't know. And we as individuals must have a revelation of God given to us by God, by the grace of God, so we can share it with people who don't know. And so this letter of Ephesians was written. Now, quickly, I'm going to share a couple more verses with you, so hang on, pay close attention. Don't let your stomach become the king now. Okay? If you get sleepy tired, just stand up. Just stand up. That won't bother me. All right, Ephesians 1:6, here we go. Paul said through the Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I'm back on track here. We're accepted in Christ. There's so much here for us to grasp so we can move out of the Old Testament and live in the New Testament, the New Covenant. Ephesians chapter 2, he goes on to say, remember, now he's telling believers, he's talking to believers, remember, you were at one time separated from God. Were, past tense. But you're no more separated from God. You could be no more separated from God because of your sin than you could separate God the Father from Jesus Christ the Son. That can't happen. Are you with me? Okay. But now, he goes on to say, in Christ Jesus, and that's the key word, in Christ, Paul uses that phrase all through the epistles to represent that's us. In Christ Jesus, you formerly were far off, but now you've been brought near by the blood, for He Himself is our peace. Now, every human being has a desire to be accepted. You have it. You can't say you don't care what anybody thinks of you, but that's not true. You may not care about what some people don't think of you or whatever, but the truth is you were made as a human being to desire acceptance. We want acceptance. We don't like rejection. And the desire to be accepted by the other by other people is one of the strongest desires in the human nature. And it affects your human behavior. I want to prove it to you. The desire to be accepted affects what you wear or what you don't wear. The desire to be accepted affects the way you do your hair. I'd buzz my hair off because I don't have much up here. I don't like fooling with it, using a little bit of hairspray and trying to command all them hairs to get together and get along and quit showing my foundation. I just buzz it off. I'd be done with it. And I love it that way. I had it this past summer. And then my mom and my wife complained about it. Said, makes you look like an old man. Don't do that anymore. And because I gave in to peer pressure, I listened to them. Because I want to be accepted, Tom. I want to be like you, see? I want to be like Joe. But my wife and my mom won't let me. And I want to be accepted. Now you think about this. What silly thing did you do when you were a child or a teenager and you wanted to be accepted by the crowd? Did you wear any silly looking clothes? Anybody? No. Do you ever do have a silly looking haircut? Did you wear bell bottoms, anybody? Yeah. Elephant bells?
No.
What else is this stuff? Hip huggers? All that. Did you do dangerous things because you wanted to be accepted? Mike? Your wife's pointing at you. Okay, yeah. Well, that was because we had this desire. We want to be accepted. We don't want to be rejected. And it's especially important when you're a teenager or a preteen. Ooh, my goodness. So how important is it when somebody decides Sunday morning... We're going to go down here to this church in the cow pasture called Grace Tabernacle. Never been there before. We don't know anybody, but we're going to go. We park in the parking lot. And we come through the doors, and we come in here and we sit down. Maybe it's too hot, maybe it's too cold, maybe the music's too loud, maybe it's too soft. What am I going to feel within 5 minutes of being here? I'm either accepted or I'm rejected. And fortunately, Pastor Don Moore, I don't know if you remember him, he was sitting up here as a black pastor, was sitting up here a few weeks ago from New York. And this is our second time here. And he said to me afterwards, he said, this is about the friendliest church I've ever been in. He said, from the parking lot, people were speaking to me. And then when I came in the door, people were friendly. They are shaking my hand. They are speaking to me. And then they come in and sat down, and people were friendly. He said, people were talking. He said, Pastor, you ought to be proud of your church. I said, I am proud of my church. He said, be sure you tell them. I said, I will. They'll have to come on Wednesday night. And that's a great quality. People feel accepted or rejected in a church within 5 minutes or less. So, how important is that? If through Jesus Christ I'm totally accepted by God, shouldn't you accept me? Shouldn't I accept you? I may not like your pink hair. You may not like certain things I do. But should we not be accepting one another? Because Christ has already accepted us. Amen. Do you know what every religion man practices is man's effort seeking to be accepted by the God he believes exists? If you're a Muslim, well, you're going to do the five pillars because you think that's the God who I've got to please, and so I've got to be accepted by him, and to be accepted by him, I've got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. If you're a Hindu, and all the various gods you believe in, you've got to do the things that you believe will make you accepted by those gods. Only Christianity is the only, I hate to say religion, but just so you understand what I'm talking about, that says God has accepted you in Christ already. Once you're in Christ, you're accepted. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what you know, what you don't know. I don't care what you've done. It can hurt you. It can be harmful to you. I care that in that way. But it's not going to ever cause me to stiff arm you and say, you can't come to me and talk to me. You can't have a relationship with me. I don't want to talk to you. I don't have anything to do with you. God will never treat you that way because you're already totally accepted in Christ. That's how important this is. So we've got to make sure when we come to church, it's important to always ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? When you read the Bible, why am I reading the Bible? When you pray, now why am I praying? When I give tithes, why am I tithing? When I give an offering, why am I giving an offering? When I witness somebody, why am I witnessing? Because your motivation is critical. It affects your behavior. Why does Jehovah's Witness witness? To be accepted by Jehovah. He commanded, we got to do this. We got to do this. We got to do this. Why does a Muslim make a Hajj? Sometime in his life he wants to make a trip to Mecca. Why? Why? I got to be accepted. And yet there are Christians who do the same things because they're living in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Why do they give? Well, because I got to give to be accepted. Why do you witness? Because I'm commanded. I got to do this to please God. Oh, no, 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 no. You just crossed the line. You've fallen from grace. You're right back into legalism. That's what the whole book of Galatians is about. We got to get Christians People who are truly born from above, get them out of the Old Testament and into the New Covenant. Because truth sets people free. We'll close out with this. God says to us in the New Testament now, God says to us, be holy, for I'm holy. That's a command. Let me ask you, why did God command us to do this? He's holy, but why does he tell us now, you be holy? If Christ has done it all, why is he telling us to be holy? Here's some answers. I'll help you, okay, because we're running out of time. Why should I try to live holy? Number one, God said so. Well, hold on, you can. But this is the reasons people will answer. And people who don't have the revelation you're getting right now, this will be their answer. Why should you live holy? Because God said so. Well, that's true, but that's not the motivation. Secondly, why should you live holy? Why is God? Because we love God. Well, that's true, but that's not the motivation. Well, number three, because he saved me. Since he saved me, it's the least I could do. I hear that one a lot. Well, that's true, but that's not the right motivation. None of these reasons are the actual reason to live a holy life, although they are indeed a part of the whole. It's like the three blind men, you know, who were taken to an elephant. You've heard the story. And they said, now describe to us what an elephant is like. Each one of them went to a different part. The one, his blind man just feels the leg of the elephant. And he said, well, the elephant is like a tree. Another one feels the trunk. And he said, no. The elephant is like a snake. And the other one placed up against the side of the elephant. He said, oh, no. The elephant's like a house. They're all three correct but incomplete. Yes, it's the least we could do to live holy after Christ saved us. Yes, God told us to do it, and that's why we should do it. Yes, it's in the Bible. Yes, all of that. Yes, but that's incomplete. You'll burn out trying to do that. Remember last week I told you that your motivation to God is directly related to your revelation of God. Otherwise, your motivation will eventually burn out unless you have the right revelation of God. So here it is. The reason God calls us to live holy, commands us to live holy, is not to be accepted, but to fellowship with Him. He says, I'm holy, you be holy. I'm holy, you be holy. And then as a result of that, here's what's going to happen. When I'm holy and you are holy, we have what they did down there at Grace Tabernacle tonight, back there in the back room when they ate food. They thought they were just eating food, but they were having fellowship with one another. I'm learning about you. I'm learning about you. Oh, you're like that. Oh, you can take a joke. Oh, that's God. You got a sense of humor. Oh, I'm learning about you. I'm fellowshipping. And God says, now be holy, for I'm holy. Why? So we can have fellowship. So, see, I know you, but you don't really know me yet. And I want you to know me. So for you to know me, we got to be two fellows in the same ship. Two fellows in the same ship. We have something in common. We have some likeness. We can talk about baseball. We can talk about dentistry. We can talk about mission trips. We can talk about engineering. Anything you want to talk about, you bring it up. God's already got all the knowledge. He said, okay. Now we can fellowship. And as a result, you're getting to know me.
I know it's a good word, brother. I just wish everybody get it. I wish the folks on Sunday morning would get it. And I said, that's why I want to be holy. That's why God commanded me to do it. So I can have fellowship with Him that I have yet to have. I can experience Him in ways I haven't known yet. And because I know that I am lacking in more the knowledge of God, there's more and I need more, I come on Wednesday nights because I'm going to get something. And I tell other people, come on Wednesday night, man, you're going to get something that's going to help you. Anybody ever have a problem with rejection? Anybody ever have a problem from rejection from a church? A few. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. How can we help people know acceptance from God? Know the truth. Live in the new covenant. Share what we know. And love. Accept them. Man came here a few years ago, dressed up like a woman. Sit right back over in the back. It didn't take much right away to spot he's a man and not a woman. Reason I know, because I live with a woman, right? I have experience with a woman. Hallelujah. And therefore I know what a real woman looks like, walks, talks. And when this fella came in, I immediately spotted something's not right. Something not right. And he came here about 3 or 4 Sundays. I met with him privately. And I told him, I said, look, you are welcome here. But you're not welcome to go into the ladies' bathroom because you're a man trying to act like a woman. Now, There's a bathroom we'll designate for you to go into, but you can't go into the ladies' bathroom. That's just the way. You're a man. Whether you say you're not, you are. Okay? And you're not going to go into the ladies' bathroom. And that about that time when all this bathroom stuff was going on. And so that was kind of a test for us. And I listened to him. I talked to him. He shared me his story. It's too long to go into right now. But God gave me absolute compassion for this man. I mean, He really did. It was so sad. He was terribly confused, demonized. Oh, yeah, I'm sure demons were playing all part of that and stuff. But yet he was just deeply confused. And why would he come to church to stir up controversy? Some people may, but he didn't. He was coming in hopes that he'd be accepted, even though he was weird and odd. And I heard through the grapevine some people snickering, making fun of him. That's people. And he quit coming, and I don't know whatever happened to him. I tried to help him. I was going to meet with him on a regular basis, and we met one time for about an hour. He really didn't want help from dressing like a woman. He wanted to prove his point to me and for me to accept that. I could accept him, but I couldn't accept his immorality. You know the old saying, we love the sinner, but we hate the sin because of what it's doing to them. So, but he was looking for acceptance. got it from some of them.
This week, you're going to meet people that are suffering from rejection. You may not know it at first. Some of them may cuss you out. Some of them may act real mean and nasty. Some of them may act like the world owes them. And if you're discerning in your spirit after what you've been taught tonight, your spirit will remind you that, oh, that person is really struggling with rejection. Goes all the way back to childhood, maybe back to their parents. Never could measure up, blah, 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 all these things. And what they need is love. And until they get that love in that spot where the rejection is to replace that rejection, they ain't ever going to be well. And there's people Sunday morning in this church that'll be here suffering from rejection and living in the Old Testament, trying to please a God they believe that they have to do all these things to please when they don't realize it's already been done. You're already completely accepted. Absolutely accepted by Christ, by God in Christ. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you that tonight we have realized by the spirit of wisdom and revelation you have given us that we are absolutely accepted completely in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. See you Sunday morning. Come loaded, ready, charged up.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.